Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 297. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me, and we got the whole crew together. Hot tea is in the building as well.
What?
We're here at the Casa de Cold Coffee on a beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Tea de fuego.
Early evening. You know, listen, Las Vegas.
I don't speak Spanish, so.
I don't even think that was real correct in the Spanish anyways.
Okay.
It just sounded right. Tea de fuego.
That doesn't mean anything.
I probably don't.
It is a nice little Thursday afternoon.
It means he's drunk.
And that's right. By the way, let's just jump right into that. The beverages this afternoon have been provided by the one and only Bruce Buffer, the veteran voice of the Octagon, was kind enough to ship us a bottle of Puncher's Chance Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Beautiful. Honestly, it's a beautiful bottle. Like, the presentation's got a cool little, like, tiger on it, and it's, you know, kind of the, I don't know what you'd call this font of the Puncher's Chance there, but it looks really nice, and I'll read it to you in the back. Puncher's Chance is a Kentucky straight bourbon inspired by two great American traditions, whiskey and fighting for what we believe in. This bourbon is made with heart and honor for those who know how far they've come, for those who started early, stayed late, day after day, year after year, for those who have the courage and strength to do what others won't.
Now,
and I think what they're talking about
now
is
now read it like Bruce.
Yeah. it made me think of my commitment to alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
When we talked about those who started early, stayed late,
yeah, you go.
Day after day.
We literally just said off air, like, oh, you know, when you start early, it's a myth that you finish early.
Yeah.
Because we never do. So
there you go.
It's reading our mind.
But hey, I just want to give a shout out. Bruce, it was kind enough to send us this, man. And we're actually really enjoying it. I know you guys aren't necessarily big bourbon drinkers, at least not you, Cold Coffee. I spent a year in Kentucky, which is when I started drinking quite a bit more bourbon. But this is good. I will give this the John Morgan seal of approval. If anybody sees it on the shelves, I know they're starting their distribution. I don't think it's everywhere yet. But if you see this, and I think it's only about $30, so it's not, you know, it's kind of mid-range, I would say. It's not, yeah, it's not
it's
your
not cheap, but it's not.
It's not your
it's
cheap,
not
but it's not your high-end,
yeah,
where you spend a lot. So it's about $30 in stores if you can find it. I think it's good, man. Like I said, when I lived a year in Lexington, Kentucky, I drank a lot of bourbon, so I kind of got a feel for what I like and don't like. And I like this a lot, man. It's not too sweet, but it's not too smoky either. You know, it's nice. Tried a little bit of it straight to start out with, and that was nice. And then put a little bit of ice in it. And I like it with the ice in it.
Yeah.
Solid.
The five I've had. I've been quite nice.
Have you had five already?
I've gone out a bit, yeah.
Whoa, look at you go.
Yeah, no, I regret it now.
Wow.
So, legend Bruce Buffer, man, appreciate that. Puncher's Chance, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Give it a shot. It's good. And, of course, you know, we do still have the traditional award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbon on the backside of that as well.
Well, I was wondering about your seal of approval. Does it come in levels, or is it just you get the seal, which is like, is that like the that just saying like Morgan would drink it?
Every alcohol starts with a seal of approval, and then he has to go up in tears, otherwise.
Look,
like I will drink it, and there's just
I
won't drink it.
Pretty much every alcohol has my approval, but I'm giving this the official John Morgan seal of approval. Like, I want people to know that if you were out and you see this, you'd be like, man, I know that guy drinks a lot. I wonder if he would like it. I like it. I'm not just saying, hey, I like Bruce Buffer. He's a good guy. He's always been. And by the way, Bruce Buffer is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, man. He is really one of the nicest guys you will ever come across. But no, I'm not just saying because I like Bruce or because, you know.
Like the tiger on the side.
I like the tiger. No, I'm just saying it's really good bourbon. So
yeah.
I would say if you're on the fence, give it a whirl.
Is there a missed opportunity that he didn't have the bottle shaped like a microphone?
Ooh. Well, see, his name isn't anywhere on there, but I guess it's not with proper 12. Connor's not, his name's not on the bottle, or is it? It's not on the bottle, I don't really know.
There's one in the fridge, we can get that out in a second.
I wonder
as well.
What the story is with the whole tiger, because nothing, I mean.
It's tigers are sexy.
Tigers
that they are
sexy.
Tigers, get that pussy. I mean, I guess there's what the Kentucky Wildcats is that a team? In
that
Kentucky?
Is that's of course that's.
But I don't know if that's
almost certainly
like
not why that's on
that
the bottle.
Has anything to do with it? I don't think it has anything to do with it.
But it's just interesting because I look at the tiger logo on it and it reminds me of
that's a big one. Huh?
Was it really?
That's not too bad.
Maybe
well,
it's.
I'm gonna dilute it with either ginger ale or some LaCroix lime sparkling water.
I'll just, if you give me a refill with just some ice, if you don't mind. Just a little bit of ice, and that'd be great.
But it looks like what you see, like on the like the Chinese zodiacs and stuff. It's
so maybe
it's
that's
like
all
a Chinese tiger. Yeah. I'd be wondering what
I guarantee none of this was what they went. What's cool? A tiger? Yeah, put that on the fucking thing.
It looks like maybe it's a little martial arts ode. It's got kind of a martial arts type tiger flair, right?
I like Punch's Chance. That's a good name.
That's a good name.
Punch's Chance.
All right.
It's what you take a shot of before you approach the beautiful girl. Glink, I've had a Punch's Chance.
A Punch's Chance. There you go.
Yeah. Or like they're saying. You know, well, there's a chance that somebody might like it. There's always a Punch's Chance that somebody will like it. But
wow.
It's actually pretty decent.
Glowing endorsement.
Jesus.
Glowing endorsement.
I'm just making jokes. It's actually not too bad. Like you said, I don't drink bourbon all that often, but it's...
I'll put it in rotation. I'll put it in rotation.
Oh, boy, if we start a rotation of whiskeys and shit, like, we'll be in fucking trouble. Even though I do have a ton of whiskey in my fridge over there.
I saw. And I plan on drinking.
It's because, it was Thanksgiving, so everything was on sale. So, like, I was telling you this story. Like, they had a sale on Jameson, or they had a sale on...
You don't have to justify yourself.
Who are you talking?
And you're amongst friends.
That's true. Justify my habits.
It was Thanksgiving.
And then they had Proper 12. And the only other time I've had Proper 12 was the night that me and John did the lingerie fighting, the night that they had the earthquake that Vegas
was
shook.
Yeah.
Everybody got together in... the nerd bar, and the owner, who is a huge fan of MMA, pulled out a bottle
of
Proper 12, and there was quite a few of us that were up there, and some other journalists that were in town because there was an event in that week, and we're all sitting there drinking Proper 12, and it was actually pretty good. That's the only time I've ever had it, but we were kind of a few sheets to the wind already, but it was pretty good.
I think with Proper 12, because of people's opinion of Connor sometimes, they want to shit on it. If you're just talking about pure alcohol... It's cheap fucking does the job and tastes absolutely fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you're right about
it's
that.
It's not too bad.
I used to drink other whiskey. I drink Proper 12 now because it's cheap and I find it like so. I know it's so smooth, but it is like it just. I don't really like whiskey that kicks my fucking ass while I'm drinking it. You know, I'd like to.
Oh, yep.
Just all
but
these
you
people,
did actually
these
just
people.
Tell me for a glass of ice. He
literally just, for anybody listening, just get. I said, I'll take a refill with some ice, and he...
I didn't hear the refill part.
Just
I
gave
just
me
heard
some
you
ice. And, I mean, which I guess clearly is, you know, I like following directions there, but I wanted a little bit of the Punch's Chance in there as well, my friend.
Well, that was funny.
I just think it's funny that all these people can hear in the background is clink, 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 just constant just reports.
That's how fancy we are with the actual ice. We actually have ice today.
That's how we do. All right. Well, listen, I got us all together this week because, of course, we did the and a half episode to talk about the UFC. We don't normally look back much because we're kind of always looking forward. That's what over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow is all about, where we do the wrap-up episodes on and a half. But I was not at the Tyson fight, and hot tea, Oscar Willis was, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., and listen, we're here to... We're here to talk about MMA, but I feel like this is one of those moments. I mean, Mike Tyson is a sporting icon, man, a cultural icon. You know what I mean? So I just kind of wanted to get your take on it. I mean, I watched the fight. I was watching it while I was working the UFC, so I couldn't give it my full attention. I was kind of apologizing when I was talking about it this past weekend because I didn't get to hear the commentary because I was obviously working, so I didn't get to hear how Adesanya did, for instance. I didn't get to hear, you know, some people were critical of Snoop. Was he good? Was he bad? That sort of thing. But you know, when Cole Caulfield and I were talking about it going in, it was
who?
I was I know you caught that, didn't you? Punch yeah. a chance setting in. You caught that one.
That was
huh?
the left. Right
I thought
there.
I could get right through that
right
and just keep going
to the larynx.
That's how we do it in broadcasting, bro. You just keep you moving, man.
Ahead.
Don't say a word. Yeah, it's funny. I said the past fight I did, I said CFFC wrong, and yeah, it was kind of funny. I got busted on that one.
That's
like,
awesome.
I stuttered over it. But anyway, when we were going into it, I was worried because, you know, I had talked to Kevin Ioli. I had talked to you as well, and it was just not like anybody was talking trash. It was just saying, like, look, man, I'm a little worried going into this because just communication's been difficult, like organizations, which is understandable. I mean, we're so used to working with the UFC machine that has this thing dialed down to a science.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about essentially a startup operation, right? Like trying to emulate those same things, and it's damn near impossible. And I don't think people realize like how complicated the task is of just, you know, getting credentials assigned, communicating what is going to be planned in terms of media and in terms of availability. So we were really worried that the whole thing was going to be a shit show, if I'm being honest with you. And then, of course, there was the question of how are two 50-year-old fighters going to look? But as it turned out, again, I didn't hear the audio of the commentary, but just visually speaking, I didn't think that the production of it was that bad.
I thought it was quite good, actually.
I thought it looked really nice, man. As far as, you know, watching it streaming into the press tent there, I thought it looked good. And then as far as the quality of the action, I thought it looked acceptable as well. I mean, I'm not, you know, one of those people that's coming out, I think, was it George Foreman that afterwards said that he sees a path back to the heavyweight title or something? Like, sit down. Sit down for a second.
Yeah.
But I was entertained. So, I mean, you were there firsthand. Just give me your general thoughts on the whole experience.
It was a cool experience. I think they were very nice people, the PR over there, and they did what they could. I think a lot of their life was not made easy by the fact they chose to have it in California, which for those who don't know is becoming very like COVID regulated again. In fact, I believe on Monday they actually just went into like another lockdown, so they got that fight done with a 2-day grace basically. So I think every time they plan something, California government would change, and so I think they had a lot of work to do on the fly, whereas if they had that in Texas they probably wouldn't have had that issue. So I don't think that helped.
Good point.
That said, you know, I got my instructions for like the next day at 11:59, so you know, that could have been a bit stressful too. But it was cool, and as someone who wasn't, you know, I was young when Tyson was around, I felt very privileged to be there because there's very few media actually credentialed.
Right.
So I felt very proud that I was there. When I very very first started getting into this game, like Mike Tyson was a bucket list kind of guy as well. You know, he's Mike Tyson. So to be able to talk to him, ask questions, actually have a good interview with him, I was very happy.
I think Mike Tyson, I mean, obviously, man, you know, hell, especially this year, man, you've been at, you know, damn near every UFC event, at least all of them since the pandemic started. And man, you're used to interviewing the biggest stars in the game. Obviously, you work for the biggest star in the game. So, you know, you're not one of those people that's going to get overwhelmed or, you know, starstruck or whatever. But I will say, I've only been around. Man, I wish. Damn, why don't we have video? That's hilarious. As he was trying to put some ice in his puncher's chance, just an entire block, the whole thing came out. But Mike Tyson is. I've only been around.
Guess that one didn't break up.
I've only been around him a handful of times. Been at Tyson's Ranch, obviously, for like the Dominance MMA thing, and was with him for a moment there. It's some PFL things, some previous UFC things over the years, and even for me, who's been doing this for a long time, there's an aura, right? I mean, Mike Tyson still, there's an aura.
Yeah, well, it's funny as well, and I actually did send you a text that night to say that by learning from you, I was able to not be a fucking freak and actually do my job to a reasonable level. But there was a moment in the press conference I asked him about. Did his previous legacy and how he might look in the ring that night, did it ever get to him? Like, if I look like shit.
Saw that answer, man.
Yeah, and then he gave a really,
really good
first
answer.
Of all, but his initial answer was like, what a question. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie to you, under the table, my hands were fucking shaking. Like, so, and it was because he, like you say, he has an aura and he's so famously unpredictable that I was like, is he about to freak out on me? And
right.
But my adrenaline was so high, I couldn't fucking hear what he was saying because it was like, boom, boom, boom in my ears. It was crazy. And it was a very cool moment. But yeah, we often speak off the podcast about like, which fighters have you been around that have an aura, like Fader or stuff, and Tyson's definitely one of those guys.
It's pretty cool, man. I, you know, we always talk about, you know, professionalism and that sort of thing. I mean, we're kind of keen to people doing things the right way and not acting like fanboys, but I mean at the end of the day, I think it's okay to admit that inside we all love this sport and we love combat sports and we are fans. And it's especially when you talk about somebody like that, like obviously I'm older than you, but I do remember I was a kid, but I mean I do remember, and I think I would still have that same reaction covering a fight now where like, hey, you know, I know this is a mid-50s Tyson or whatever and it's not what I'm seeing the guy in his prime, but It's still a damn cool thing to kind of check off the list and say, man, I got to do that, to look back in 10 years or 20 years and say, like, man, yeah, I covered that. You know, it's pretty cool.
And then he went up there and shook hands with him.
I did,
and made actual contact.
Well, he came over to me and said, I just want to let you know you're the best journalist I've ever dealt with in my career.
Yeah. But I saw that picture. I was like, how dare you touch him and give him your germs?
Out of the two of us, I think Tyson might, you know, have a bit shadier past than me. He's literally said at the press conference, he's like, oh, how are you going to celebrate? He's like, well, back in the old days, I had an orgy, but I don't have that sort of energy no more.
It's
like,
wow.
It's like, that's
amazing.
Yeah, it's so hilarious.
That's hilarious.
But he never
says
it as a joke. He's just saying it like,
he's like,
just pure fact. Yeah.
And by the way, not a bad Tyson, by the way. That was pretty good. Yeah. We might have to collect some audio from Mike moving forward, man, every now and then. Okay, so here's what's interesting coming out, and this is what I really want to get your take on as well, is So now that we're hearing that, you know, this Legends League thing is not a one-off, it's not, you know, a one-night thing, and they're planning on more moving forward. And, of course, there was the other fight that night, the Logan Paul fight.
Jake Paul, sorry.
That's so funny to me how
poor guy can never get out of his brother's shadow.
I apologize.
Yeah,
Mr.
you're talking
Paul.
About one of the biggest stars in boxing.
It is true. It is actually the biggest. Okay, so I guess, all right, let's just start with Jake Paul. Jake Paul. Okay, I got it right. Let's start with Jake Paul, because I was talking to the Submission Radio Boys earlier this week, and they were kind of asking me what I think about it moving forward, right? And just like you said, one of the biggest stars in boxing. Kind of a, you know, tongue-in-cheek jest there, but it's true, right? I mean, the numbers that they're generating and the attention that they're getting, you can't deny them. So if you're going to sit here and say, you know, it's pointless or it's whatever, like, dude, now I know, obviously, this was Tyson that generated a million buys, but Logan Paul and KSI did, like, huge numbers, right? Jake Paul's getting a lot of attention.
Logan Paul, KSI did better numbers on DAZN than Joshua Ruiz, too.
Are you serious?
That's what Eddie Hearn said the other day.
That is insane. So you can't deny it. I mean, that's a reality. If people, if the consumers are there, you can't deny it, right? But here's my thing is that what I told the Submission Radio guys is that I'm totally okay with it. Like, to sit here on some high horse and be like, this is a mockery of the sport that we are part. Like, bro, we're in cage fighting and boxing is the same. I mean, if people want to see it. What I do have a problem with, I guess, or not necessarily a problem with, where I think the limit should lie, at least in terms of me. So let's just talk about the Paul scenario first, and then we'll talk about Tyson. And maybe it kind of intertwines. Is that I'm okay with it as long as it's marketed as what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm tuning in for. You know, like, immediately, you know, Jake Paul comes out and says, you know, I would knock out Conor McGregor, right? Like, that's silly. Like, no, you absolutely would not. Now, I will say, the Dylan Danis call out, no disrespect to Dylan Danis, but in boxing, maybe you could. Now, if it's an MMA fight, you lose. Yep. If it's grappling, you definitely lose. Yeah. But in a straight boxing match against Dylan Danis, maybe. Conor McGregor, come on, son. You'd get sparked in a round or two. So it's weird. Like, I don't want to sit here and pretend like it shouldn't exist or we're too good for this. But at the same time, I don't like when they start crossing over and acting like, you know, I would take out these UFC fighters. Is that fair, or do you think there is a line?
So for me, it's interesting because we said at the beginning, kind of joking, he's one of the biggest stars in boxing, but he's not the biggest boxing star. You know, he's a star in boxing, you know?
That's interesting. That's a great way to put it.
But so
it's almost as good as greatest of a time. Not quite, but it's right there.
It's there.
But I remember when I was doing the media day and they were like, Jake Paul's coming in, and all I could think was, I can't wait to see how much of a fucking dickhead this guy is. And he was, but nowhere near as bad as I thought. When I spoke to him and it was kind of one-on-one, he was relatively normal. I mean, he's a young kid, he's 23, he's flash, he's got a lot of money, so there's that element to him.
Right.
But the one thing I took away from him was actually, unfortunately, he gets the game better than 90% of the people I've ever interviewed. So even I said, you know, I the way I proposed the question was, I've always found it in the biggest stars in this sport, people are talking about their next fight before this fight's done.
Right.
So I'm finding that with you, people are already talking about who you're fighting next. And he said, well, that's because I construct that narrative. I know it's important for me to keep relevant even if the fight's just ended.
Wow.
He's like, says, I know I'm going to try and get Conor McGregor. To get him, that's not going to happen, so I have to beat his teammate up and knock his teammate out to get the Conor McGregor fight. So if that doesn't happen, I've got KSI because I need to avenge my brother's loss. And if that doesn't happen, I can just box my brother because I'm the younger brother and I need to get out of his shadow.
Gotta respect
and
that.
And he spelled it out, and I was like, motherfucker's not just winging this.
Gotta respect that.
So when I saw that, I was like, man, fair fucks to you, to be honest. Like, because that's exactly what they need to do. Construct the narrative, get ahead of it, and choose your path. Okay, these are all wacky angles, but guess what? Beating up your older brother, knocking out a teammate to fight the big one. Fucking, everyone loves that shit.
Yep.
Betch Gohea did that to Ronda, knocked out all the teammates. That's how she got a fight.
That's absolutely right.
It's tried and tested. And so for him to recognize that, especially because he's quite young, I was very impressed by him. And I think also, as much as people don't really like it, I think he can probably fight a bit too.
Well, that's the thing is I think he can. And I see... And it's probably more of the old guard or whatever that says, like, oh, this shouldn't exist. It's a mockery of our sport. To me, if anything, if we're turning people on to combat sports, even if it's because they're wanting to see the celebrity stuff, I don't think it's a bad – maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's a bad thing because maybe you see that and you go, it's kind of fun. And then you see what it really looks like at the highest level with the UFC.
I just think these people who freak out about it, This is the wrong sport to freak. Like, combat sports has always been a bit of a freak show.
Of course.
George Foreman boxed four dudes in one night. Like,
did he really?
Yeah, after he lost to Ali, he boxed four guys. And four,
I did not know that.
He boxed four. Like, it like Butterbean, God bless him, built a career out of being a bit of a freak show.
Sure.
Fucking James Toney went to the UFC when everyone knew he was going to get fucking butt fucked by, well, not literally, but beaten up. Freak show, Bob Sapp, like, it's, again, tried and tested. And yep. So for people, the pearl clutching of, oh, or I hate this idea that he's taking someone else's spot, like the same thing about CM Punk. Not really. He's probably actually creating more spots because Nate Robinson wasn't going to box, you know, and then all these buys that now Badu Jack's been seen by these people, those are because of him. He's creating opportunities more than anything else. I'm not, like, trying to defend Jake Paul. I don't, like, you know.
Not necessarily.
I've met him. I've met 300 of him at frat houses in my life. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's not special. I just think people need to relax and realize that you can have the tried and tested boxing. You can also have this other stuff too, as long as what you said at the beginning, it's presented as what it is.
That's it. Just don't try to tell me this is the greatest fighter on the planet. You know what I mean?
That's all I want. Just as long as you tell me, like, this is two YouTubers, one of them can box, the other one maybe. We'll find out. Like, that's what I want.
So what about the 50-year-old thing, right? Because now we know that this kind of legend league is going to happen.
It's disgusting. A freak show. I don't like it. Get it out of my sport.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going to give a pass to one, you kind of got to give a pass to the other, right? I'm just interested to see where this goes because the scary part of it is, right, I mean, at the end of the day, you're still talking about concussive blows to the head, and those probably aren't good as you get into your 50s. I mean, they're not good for you at any time, but they're definitely not good later in life. But I don't know, this side, you know, 8-round fights, 2-minute rounds, you know, kind of modifying the rules.
2-minute rounds was the fucking lifesaver at the weekend. I think if they had 3-minute rounds, it would have been a very different reaction.
I agree. So are you, I mean, I don't know that you would necessarily, you know, obviously Tyson, and no disrespect to Roy Jones Jr., I mean, he's certainly a legend, but, I mean, Tyson is the icon. I mean, would you go cover, like, other of these if it doesn't involve Tyson, if it involves, I think, what, Holyfield somebody getting in, Lennox Lewis maybe getting in?
There's talk of, I don't know how real it is, there's talk of Holyfield boxing a guy called Jerry McCreary, I think his name is. He's an old English boxer. I would not go cover that.
Right.
You know, it would have to have, just pure numbers and stuff, I would have to have, you know, a big number, like Tyson sort of S numbers to cover it. But I actually found all the pre-stuff with the commission about all these restrictions on them, I actually found it kind of, like, they're two grown men, they're two legends, but I find it kind of weird that if you're a 50-odd-year-old of sound mind and you want to box another 50-year-old also of sound mind and you're both consenting adults, I find it a little bit weird that people can come in and sort of go, well, you can kind of do it, but you can't do it. And we're also the same commission that let Chuck Liddell go out there and get fucking destroyed by Tito Ortiz, and he was in way worse shape than both Tyson and probably Roy, and we still let that happen. So I find it all a little bit weird, a little bit hypocritical.
As long as you pass the medical test, I mean, I get it. Like, yeah, you should absolutely take, you know, probably additional MRI-type scans and things like that. Like, but if you pass the medicals, I'm with you.
If you pass, I would argue... more stringent tests, more like increased cognitive tests, more stuff like that. For the Tyson thing, I argued he's in California. They could go and watch him spar. And you know, you've been around this game long enough. If you go and watch someone who's shot, you'll know very quickly. By watching them work in the ring.
Yep.
There's people still finding that, you know, like, that guy is fucking done and he's been done for a few fights. If you went and watched Tyson spar, like the same thing, I use Chuck as an example, God bless him, but No one from that CSAC went to watch Chuck Liddell spar in that camp, because if they did, they knew he couldn't punch anymore.
Yep.
So I'd rather you, if you're really nervous, but it's such a high-profile thing, go take an active like interest in it, watch him spar. If you watch Mike Tyson spar this camp, I guarantee you'd have been like, yeah, he can fight as a professional.
I completely agree with that, man. You know, it's funny. Vitor Belfort has always been championing this Legends League. In fact, that was even the name he used. And he got a lot of shit for it, but I understand why he did, because he's Vitor Belfort, and we know, you know, what's happened in his career and, you know, his history with TRT and that sort of thing, and why people want to give him grief. But, man, there is something to be said for, and I guess it's difficult to say, like, well, but you're not really somebody that needs to be around fighting, and some people do, but there is something to be said for watching our heroes. You know, he used to say, MMA, bigger gloves, no elbows, shorter rounds, longer rest between rounds, you know, all those things that you would say to be, okay, this will make this a little bit more easier for a man of an older age to accomplish. There's something to be said for watching your heroes compete, you know what I mean? And also, for allowing them to still make some money. And it sounds like Tyson and Roy Jones probably ended up making some really good money out of this. It sucks that you could just be, well, your shelf life's over. Yeah. That's it. You're not allowed anymore.
I'll play devil's advocate. We're going to say it's fine until one of them gets taken out on a stretcher and it's not fine, right?
Yeah. That's the part where I'm struggling. Like the younger guys that are freak shows that are YouTubers or whatever, yeah. Whatever, man.
You can get hospitalized all you want.
That's the thing, is the older guys, it's when are you protecting them from themselves? And I'm not a person that believes quite clearly that people should protect people from this. I don't need somebody to protect. Well, I probably do need somebody to protect me.
Yeah,
well,
you do. That's
me.
The issue.
Yeah, but I don't want that. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like I should be protecting other people from themselves. But so it's weird. Like I do. Like I was worried this was going to look terrible.
Well,
it didn't look terrible.
That's the thing, though. Are we now riding that it didn't? Because I remember when they walked to the ring, someone said, "What are you expecting?" And I said, "All I want is for it not to be embarrassing. Like, if they get through it, it turned out to be quite fun.
Right.
But all I wanted was like just as long as they don't. It's not like a fucking shit show.
Yes.
That's all I wanted. So maybe we've taken that. We're like, well, Tyson looked great, dude. And fucking Tyson did look great.
Right.
But if, you know, he boxed like Evander and Evander didn't and it was a shit show and then it's not great. And I actually think, I was thinking to myself, outside of Evander Holyfield, the names quite quickly dry up.
Right.
You know, and you reading it, with this sort of stuff, with the older age guys, matchmaking is essentially the only important bit of it. They have to be even. They have to be similar age, and they have, like, you know, I was thinking about who could he box. And
Lennox Lewis still matters, right? I mean,
I don't want to watch Tyson lose to Lennox again, though.
Yeah.
I'd rather Lennox. I actually was thinking who, if you could convince him to get into a gym properly, Tyson versus Rampage would have been a good fun in a boxing match.
Ooh.
But you can't have the Rampage that fought Fedor come. You'd have to get like a decent Rampage.
But at Tyson's age. Maybe that's a fair fight.
I think Tyson beats Rampage in a boxing match.
Days. That would be, dude. Didn't even cross my mind, but I'd sign up for that, man. I'd be in for that.
There you go, Triller. Call me.
Crazy, man. Well, we'll definitely be following it. As I said, it looks like there's going to be more of these, and I don't know. I guess they're going to borderline on ridiculous, and we'll find out how that play out and go from there. But
successfully, by the sounds of the pay per view buys.
Ooh, over a million.
Yeah, 1.549 or something.
At $50.
It's good money.
That's insane. All right, listen, I want to talk about a couple other quick commission issues since we're talking about commissions and that sort of thing. News came out today, USADA suspended Yair Rodriguez 6 months for whereabouts issues. By the way, if you were listening to the and a half episode, you would have already known that was happening because I kind of threw it out.
Did you break it?
Just to the love. You know what I'm saying? My crew over there at patreon.com/MMAroadshow, I let them know this was coming. They saw the news today and they were like, I knew that.
Yeah,
I
told my friends, bro.
But listen, I want to talk about this because this is crazy, man. Yair Rodriguez, whereabouts issues. Meaning he did not file updates on where he is located so that USADA could get a hold of him to test him. Now, there's two reasons basically you do this. One, you just don't care or just aren't, I don't know.
A bit incompetent.
Bit incompetent in handling your, I mean, this is one of the few responsibilities you have essentially, you know, as a fighter, you have to register with USADA. I mean, the rest is kind of independent. You can do whatever you want. Other than, I guess, making weight on weigh-in day. Like, that's probably like your two requirements, you know, and the rest you can do what you want. Or you're trying to hide something. I don't think Yair's trying to hide something. I really don't.
I've heard from a few people that they don't believe he's trying to hide something.
No. I just don't. I'm sorry. I look at the guy. Granted, eyeball test isn't everything, but I don't believe the guy's trying to cheat. I just don't. And I know his character, too. You know what I mean? I've been around him enough. I don't feel like he's that guy.
But don't you think because you know his character, that makes you know why he's missing
whereabouts tests? Yes,
and
shit, yes, it does. And I just think I think it's ridiculous. And how do you not register with USADA? How do you get a whereabouts? And it's not a one-time thing. It's three. You have to get three. He got one per quarter. The first three quarters
of
2020.
I've never heard of anybody getting this.
One per quarter. Nick Diaz did, but that didn't shock me.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Diaz, okay, you get like, all right.
But Nick got a whereabouts failure because he wouldn't open the door because he was drunk and didn't want to fucking
open. He jumped out of the window in one of them.
Okay, I didn't know that. But I remember
that was the story in the staff that we heard that they showed up at his friend's house, friend door, and he climbed out of a window.
But I remember the time they were at the thing, and he was like, no, I'm not fucking – and he was filming himself on Snapchat telling the guy to fuck off.
Right.
So it's hardly like he wasn't – his whereabouts is quite known. He just wasn't being helpful.
Yeah, I mean, we know Nick Diaz has got some different issues going on, which, by the way, sounds like he's coming back next year. Let's –
that would be awesome.
That'd be great. I'd sign up to see Nick again, man. I'd sign up to – all right, but – this to me, I'm not trying to hammer Yair Rodriguez. I like Yair Rodriguez. I like him as a person. I like him as a fighter. But this to me is just bizarre. I mean, again, it's not one, it's three, and it's one per quarter in 2020.
You would think after your second one, knowing if you did it again, you get a suspension, you'd probably fucking get your missus to do it.
You know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? Like, John Jones can manage it.
Come on. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not really affecting him that much.
Just taking jabs.
I don't know why I said that.
Puncher's chance. That's why, baby. Thanks, Bruce.
T. DeFuego's views should not be held against the MMA Roadshow.
I don't know, man. I just find this incredibly disappointing. It's cost us, you know, it was supposed to be the Zabit Magomed Sharipov fight. That fight's been trying to put together forever. You know, it would be a key fight in the division. I don't know. I don't know how to properly frame this because I don't believe he's a cheater, but at the same time, I also find it just incredibly reckless, incredibly irresponsible.
Arrogant.
Just, yes, arrogant is a good word, man. It bothers me, man. You can't sign, I mean, you know, now, if you were out there publicly talking about how the USADA program is unfair or how you have protests and this was your way of I still think it's silly.
Yeah.
Because you're costing yourself career, you're costing yourself fights. But I don't know, man. It just seems like you don't care.
I think with Yair, there's a couple of things. One, he's shown himself to be sort of a bit of a, I don't want to say diva because that sounds too harsh, but he's shown himself to have a fighter's ego in the past, right? He's fallen out of the UFC and stuff like that. So when you hear about him being what I think, frankly, is incompetence, I think when you hear about it, it's hard not to think like he's just being a fucking dick.
Yeah.
You know, it's being very silly. On the other hand, I saw Alan Jabban. He said, I'm actually on two whereabouts failures.
Oh, really?
Jabban is someone who definitely has a shit together.
Yeah.
And he was like, but that was because I was at dinner and I couldn't get back to the house in time because they come at 7 o'clock at night and you're out for dinner and you can't get back in an hour. They've ruled it a whereabouts.
That's different than not showing up.
It's different.
That's like they try to do a spot check.
It's different, but we haven't heard from Yair yet.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
We don't know the full. Okay, you know what? Well, that's
So that's made me think like, okay, well, let's not go too harsh on the guy. On the other hand, I think while the 6-month suspension is an inconvenience, he's gonna be able to fight in March, which, you know, the guy fucking never fights.
Yeah,
that's an inconvenience. I actually think what will hurt him more is, unluckily for him, he will forever now have not an asterisk, but just a little question mark. Where people will be like, well, as you said, was he being stupid or was he purposely choosing to hide? You know,
it's funny, man. It's funny you mentioned that with Jabban, and it does kind of make me think, okay, well, maybe I'm being a little too harsh right now.
He's like a professional,
man, buttoned up. And it is funny, man. You think about being in SoCal, like, dude, you could easily be, you know, having dinner or wherever somewhere, and like, I mean, you get stuck in 3 hours. Although I think if you're, as long as you're maintaining communication with them, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird scenario, but that does. I mean, hearing that Jabban's on two like kind of does make me think. All right, well, maybe I.
But I just wonder. I wonder if
pass.
That's a matter of like his availability. He says I'll be at home at this time or whatever, and then they do a spot check and he's not there, which would be different than if he's just not even filing anything.
That's true.
You know.
So he's. So I'm just reading Alan Jabban. I didn't realize he's been tweeting about it a lot today. So I've been at dinner and had USADA call and say they're at my front door and they were going to come meet me at the restaurant. Sometimes they don't. They've also tested me while I was in the middle of a podcast one time. Stuff like that.
And by the way, I will say for the record, it should be known that in USADA's official announcement, it did say, because normally it would be a 12-month suspension. He got 6. And they did say in their own language, Rodriguez was eligible for reduction in the period of ineligibility because his conduct did not raise suspicion that he was trying to avoid being available for testing. So he received reductions based on his degree of fault and for his full and complete cooperation.
Well,
so USADA is saying,
I also checked,
we're not suspicious.
I also checked the USADA list today. He's been tested 4 times this year, successful tests.
Yeah.
So
that's quite a bit.
It's a decent amount.
It's like you said, it's
the same as Nick and Nate, I think.
Really?
A rough rat, like they've had 5 or 4, yeah.
It is clearly like if somebody wanted to say, hey, I got questions, they could say it. But it doesn't seem like he's cheating, but it's just like, come on, man. Like,
well, I just think with his history and, you know, I like Yair. I actually enjoy Yair.
I
think as a person, he's pretty cool. But I think he can be a bit of a dick. Like, I mean, with the Jeremy Stephens stuff, with his reaction, I think he's got a bit of an ego, which is not unhealthy as a fighter. I think you need that. But when something like this happens, it's very easy to think like, you just imagine this guy just fucking off and not caring. And yeah, it's like, it's like, your whatever. Career, bro.
Like, yeah, I don't have to answer you. All right, one other commission issue I want to bring up as well, and basically, we've been talking about it a little bit, but it got brought up in the media day today, the virtual media day for this weekend's UFC on ESPN 19 event, which we'll certainly talk about in a moment. But Nevada's marijuana suspensions, dude.
Nico Price, right?
Gotta go. Yeah, Nico Price was the latest one, you know, hammered by these guys. Jamal Hill was talking about it today. Yeah.
Somebody. You mean Jemma Hall?
It's getting hot in here.
Oh, it was not a good day for one particular person. But yeah, by the way, it is Jamal Hill. If you're speaking to it, it's not Jemahal Hill. It is Jamal Hill. but he said today, you know, he's coming off a suspension. It wasn't a lengthy suspension, but he was asked about it, and I'll read you his quote because he just didn't hold back. He's like, I think it's fucking stupid. I think it's dumb as hell. I think everything I've had to deal with as a result of this is dumb as fuck. I really think they need to focus energy on things that actually matter, not goofy shit like that. and you know what, man? I love the fact that he just laid it out there, and I agree with him. And I'll say this. He went on to clarify, and I'll take him at his word, man. I mean, I don't know. If somebody has different information, fine, but I don't know why he would lie about it. He's already paid the fine. He's already been suspended. You know what I mean? He's not trying to plead his case. He said he smoked 4 weeks before the fight. He said that was the last time. 4 weeks before the fight.
So he was pulsing.
Pulsing picograms, basically, of THC.
Man, if they can forgive, I'm not even trying to, I don't know why I'm taking another shot, John. If they can forgive Turanabol pulsing, like, fuck off.
I completely agree.
Like, I think we spoke to Dana like a couple of weeks ago. Like, test them the night of the fight because you can't have them going in there impaired. But I completely agree with that, too.
That's it.
But otherwise, none of your fucking business.
Check for signs of impairment, man. Check for signs of impairment. You know, this marijuana is getting legalized recreationally and medically, obviously, more and more all the time. I think it's just a matter of time before it's nationally legalized.
Yeah.
I think it'll happen. And it's honestly, you know, when the alternative for these guys to deal with pain management, to deal with stress management and stuff is, like, highly addictive, you know, it's just – it's terrible, man. Let them use marijuana. Who cares? And as I said, again, as you said, they should not be impaired on fight night. Inspectors should look for signs of impairment. But if they're not impaired, like, again, you don't allow a fighter to walk into a cage drunk. Obviously, that would not be good for their health and safety. But if they drank 3 nights before or 4 weeks before, who cares?
I think it should be considered the exact same as alcohol. They can't go and fight buzzed. You know, that's it. I think it's insanity that they test for recreational drugs outside of the day of at all.
It really is. Outside of the day of, it's
if you want to take recreational drugs the day before a fight, that's on you for not taking your career seriously.
Right.
That's about as much as we need to say.
True.
To be honest. Like,
they've got to update the it's archaic, man. I mean, it really is, dude. It needs to be updated.
So now Dana has to give Cowboy another fight because he technically you know, that wasn't a draw.
It wasn't even a draw. Didn't even happen.
Yeah.
It was never even contested.
There you go.
Legally
that fight
speaking.
Did not count, so he's actually fine.
Oh, man. One last thing I want to talk about before we talk about UFC and ESPN 19. It kind of goes over into that boxing world as well. Clarissa Shields signing with the PFL.
Good
scoop,
John Morgan.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I want to get you guys' thoughts on that because I'll just lay it out there. I was excited to get that scoop because I think it's a hell of a signing by the PFL, if I'm being honest, man. That is a big name. You're talking. If you're not familiar with Clarissa Shields, two-time Olympic gold medalist in boxing at 165 pounds, 10-0 as a professional thus far. And by the way, if you look at the record of competition, her 10-0 is a pretty solid 10-0. It hasn't been a bunch of scrubs. I mean, you see,
she fought like legit people.
Exactly right. You see a lot, you know. 10-0 boxing record is really not that impressive in most cases, especially when you look and you see like they debuted against a 1-17 guy, and then they fought a 2-14 guy. Clarissa Shields has fought some legitimate competition. I will say, I guess if there's a criticism to be had, or only two knockouts among those 10 wins, so a lot of decisions. So it's not as if, I mean,
well, that's women's boxing.
It is women's boxing,
that's
but I just want to say
in general, there's a
if what
it's
I'm
not
saying
like
is,
there's a lot of knockouts happening all the time.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you're looking for her to come in and be like this one punch KO artist, that like, by the way, she can literally knock out anybody in those. That's not the case. Now, she will have better striking than 99.9% of the people that she eventually faces, but it's not that she's this person that like, oh my god, if you get touched, you go to sleep. But still,
actually,
I think
which actually hurts her, to be honest. If you're like, she doesn't want to be in an MMA fight for 15 minutes. For the first few.
Right.
She probably wants to be one hit and quit.
True. Well, and maybe the 4-ounce gloves she will. But I don't know. I want to get you guys' thoughts on the signing, because I think it's a good signing. I will just go out and say right away, and I've seen people say, oh, her and Harrison will be legit. Kayla Harrison is light years ahead of Clarissa Shields right now. And I don't mean that as any disrespect to Clarissa Shields. Kayla Harrison was a newbie as well. But, you know, Kayla Harrison, obviously, with her grappling.
Clarissa Shields will never be as good as Kayla Harrison MMA.
I agree.
That's just the way, that's the way the world works.
I hate to say that, but I just agree. So to me, I think it's a hell of a signing. I think it's a big name. I think it shows you that the PFL is committed to not just trying to, you know, sign UFC, you know, retreads or anything like that. You know, like really like trying to think outside the box and see what they can do. I think it's a phenomenal signing for them. I will just say, tap the brakes on anybody that's saying, hey, the two-time gold medalists are going to go up against each other. I don't think we'll see that.
No, and if they did that, PFL are ridiculous, because I'm assuming they're paying Clarissa a decent amount of money to get her there. So why would you destroy your talent so quickly? I mean, in fact, we spoke about the Tyson stuff. PFL's matchmaking is going to have to be incredible.
Oh yeah,
because if they get it wrong, she's going to be embarrassed, and then she'll be is embarrassed once, and then the experiment's over. Then no one will care. You know, she needs to win the first few for people to give a shit and to remain interested. So their matchmaking, you know, probably hire the Uber driver you took to the arena that night. You know, I think they need to be very careful. Luckily, I think Clarissa is herself is, I really am quite a fan of her. I think she's very impressive, very determined. She did an interview with Brett Okamoto, and she, in my opinion, she's the first high-level boxer to try this earnestly. Like, James Toney was a money grab. The other guy who I can't even remember, who knocked out Tim Sylvia. Ray Mercer. Yeah, I think that was kind of just a bit of a weird one.
Right.
This one, to me, is the first time we've seen someone be like,
one hurt, too. The Ray Mercer one.
Yeah, that was a bit fucked up.
The Ray Mercer one hurt us MMA fans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Even though nobody was saying Tim Sylvia is like the best representative of MMA of all time.
That wasn't a great day.
Still hurts.
But I'm very impressed with Carissa to do this, because she could easily just cruise through boxing and fuck people up and walk out unscathed.
She deserves a hell of a lot of credit. And it sounds like she's still going to box in 2021, but you're absolutely right about that. She deserves a hell of a lot of credit, because, you know, we're always talking about, it seems, MMA fighters crossing over to boxing, and now we're talking about a
she doesn't
a
need to do it. She doesn't need to do it. She's like 24, 25. I'm very impressed. I'm grateful that she's doing it. I don't know. Long term, how? I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. You're right. But the good thing is, when you're 0-0,
yeah,
you can get match made against somebody that's...
They could put her against that woman who won the Contender Series episode, my favorite one.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, obviously they can't because she's in the UFC. But you're right. That would be a fair fight.
I might ask Dana about it. I'd love to hear their reaction to her going to PFL, because obviously there's a report about Super Boxing with her involved and stuff. And I know that Nunes fight is something that I think Dana really wanted for a while.
Of course.
So I'm interested to see if he was like, fuck, you know.
Has to be at least a little bit. Has to be at least a little bit. I mean, I know at the end of the day,
she's so big though.
Boxing,
you know what I mean?
Is
she's
not
like
the
core so
audience.
She's so big. So even that Nunes fight was not like. I don't think she's ever competed at 145. I think she got down to 147.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
My understanding is she'll be at 155.
It's 155 for sporadic fights,
yeah.
I believe. But, I mean, it's a bit like Cyborg with 135, unless you're gonna have to try and get down there for any fight that you really want, you know?
It's interesting.
I will say, let me just go back into the MMA junkie vault for you.
Mm.
If people remember, Clarissa Shields came backstage.
And she said she had a lovely ass, and I agree.
Oh, yes. She was fine, y'all. UFC 245.
Wow.
UFC 245. And when we brought up the whole thing about how Amanda Nunes, she's like mid-next year, end
of
next
year,
MMA match can happen a year after that. It's just about whenever we get a deal signed and sealed, then let me know how much time I have to get ready inside the octagon. And I'm not talking about 6 months or a year, but give me like actual time when I can have a chance. I feel like I have a chance now, but once we go to the ground and stuff, I have to learn that. And I know that. Me being an Olympic athlete, I know that I can learn a different sport and catch on quicker than a regular person. And I thought her interview was awesome that night. She's great. Thought her personality was so just magnetic. I was completely drawn to her, and she was just radiant. But she's a badass. But the difference thing about being a boxer, and when you brought up Kayla Harrison, it's two different base sports, one being much more apt to MMA as opposed to boxing.
Yep.
When have you ever heard somebody said, all right, what's one skill? What's that one skill that you want somebody to learn before they transition? They don't say, oh, it's got to be boxing.
Yeah.
It's got to be the hands.
Not even kickboxing.
No,
it's not. Always it's grappling.
It's grappling or wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's always what comes into it. And that's going to be the biggest thing that, you know, who knows? It is literally, this interview was December 17, 2019. It's been a year. So this is the year that she said, but it hasn't even quite, but just about a year. So I doubt she went straight back and was like, hey, guys, I went to this interview, and they said I need to work on grappling. Can we start that right now and just continue on? So, you know, obviously, you know, she's still got to be lacking in that area, and that's going to be the biggest question. But, I mean, great hands. She's got great hands. But, unfortunately, MMA fights very rarely just stay
especially within striking. Especially when you have lower skill level in MMA, because when people have lower skill in MMA, it always ends up on the ground like a pub fight because, you know,
they don't keep the distance
The distance isn't well maintained, and it just gets a bit sloppy. They always end up in the clinch because the referee doesn't break them up.
Yep,
and it always
nobody's
ends up
breaking
with,
them up.
It always kind of ends up with some sort of weird trip on the floor, and I think her fights could it's very, very hard. Even if you gave me fucking Mayweather, like, how do you book him in an MMA fight where you're like, right, what's the only way that this guy doesn't get apps? Because even the most average MMA fighter probably knows more about grappling than Clarissa or Floyd would do. Do you know what I mean? So
yep.
And like we'd said about
Rousey would crush him in a street fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Should do Cain Velasquez too. No, but I mean like Clarissa and Harrison, right? I've used this example with you about Khabib and some people. If Kayla Harrison didn't train another day of grappling for 5 years and Clarissa trained nothing but grappling for 5 years, when they grapple, Kayla would still win because she has a decade or more of grappling experience. Right. You just can't
at a super high level as well.
Yeah, you can't overcome that gap.
It's so funny, man. I was talking to Marvin Vettori the other day, and it was when he was still getting ready for Jacare, and I loved his quote. He was just like, listen, man. I was like, so do you just like do nothing but jiu-jitsu when you're getting ready for a guy like Jacare? He's like, no. He's like, that would be stupid. He was like, you think I'm going to do – he's like, if I did nothing but jiu-jitsu for 6 weeks, he's like, Jacare would still be way better than me at jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? He's like, so why would I do that? You know, it's like I think people make that mistake sometimes. You're getting ready for a specialist and think you need to do everything in that specialty. It doesn't make sense. You're not going to be able to do that.
But to your point when you said she doesn't knock people out, I think that hurts her. I think the less time, you know, she needs to be asleep, you know, 4 ounce gloves and stuff like that.
I'm interested to see.
She's considered one of the hardest hitting people in women's boxing, I think.
Well, that's
still
the thing.
Not
I think
out.
If they transition and start working of how to transition her hooks, her strikes into elbows,
uppercuts and stuff.
You know, spinning. Well, I wouldn't say spinning back fist. That's getting a little fucking crazy.
Ben Askren tried.
But
that.
Even just yeah. But even just throwing like an elbow, you know. Because the a nice little jab. When I used to work with the famed coach Angelo Reyes, you know, when would talk about, you know, how your jab and practically turning it into a hook
almost,
is just a
almost
slight.
Had you pro. Almost
yeah,
had
almost. I was just on the doorstep. You know, but it's a slight difference when you take that jab and you can turn it into a hook. So imagine if you're working with a level athlete like this, telling her how to take that, what would be either a what looks like a jab come in and be able to transition it into an elbow. So if she's got that much force, a puncher of this caliber, the way that she's able to manipulate the hits and generate that force, but working in some elbows, that's the kind of transition that I think she can make those subtle differences. Mm-hmm. Even Kayla just started really working elbows, and her elbows have been fantastic. So imagine a fighter at this level being able to start working the things that she can control and tweak quickest. I think that's the best way to work with something like this is what skill set do we have and what is the best, most dangerous aspect of that we can transition to make it more deadly. You're not going to take her punch and make her more powerful.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to find ways to, you know, I think work the elbows, work other, you know, striking sets that, you know, that she can handle in this time frame.
I think before you even get into adding skills or changing punches to elbows, she has to get used to boxing without big gloves.
Yeah,
right? Because
too.
That's, it's completely different. In fact, I remember you mentioned Angelo, his fighter, Anna Juliton,
yep.
She's a boxer who transitioned to MMA, and she said one of the weirdest things she found was fighting with no shoes on. It's a weird thing to fight with no shoes on for her because she'd been so used to the thing. So I think before you even start being like, right, we'll need to add elbows, they need to understand that the guard is different. You split the guard different. You have to guard different. And your hands have to be lower and stuff like that. I think that in itself is almost a skill set that needs to be learned. Just a different stance. Yeah. Because if your regiment, you know, what's the old saying about boxers going to MMA? Their stance is just ready to be fucking leg kicked to death. If she has the old school high stance. And then anytime you see any boxer going to MMA, they get a leg kick or someone goes for a takedown, and then they don't know where to have their hands. And then you see them kind of just their brain malfunctioning. Their hands are down. They just don't know what to do.
Yep.
So if I was – honestly, if I was her coaches, and maybe I'm being wrong here, but I would have her spar so many rounds. I would even have her sparring boxing in MMA gloves and stuff like that. I would have her – Just spar. Like, I think the only way she's going to get good quick is to learn on the job very quickly.
Yeah, like you said, get the shoes off. Get into four ounce gloves, get into that feel.
And then her, when she said she's going to continue boxing as well as doing MMA, and she did say to Brett, she's like, I can box in my sleep, so I don't even need to train boxing to succeed. Don't know, man. I don't know, because those little subtle differences, like, I think anyone who's trained, if you do boxing and then go to kickboxing, you kind of have a couple of sessions of like,
what am I meant to do, that timing here, that space here.
It's so different.
100% right.
So I think her idea, I think she'll find quite quickly that trying to do both is not going to work out for her.
I'm intrigued by it, man. Like I said, there's so many difficult challenges you're going to have to overcome, but you are talking about somebody who has been successful at the highest level, you know, both as an amateur, as a professional, man. And I think it's good work by the PFL. We'll see what they do with her in 2021. All right, so about Saturday's event, UFC on ESPN 19. I think we'll all be there, right? We're all back together. I think Cold Coffee's not on vacation. Hot Tea's in the house as well.
Still time to probably ask for it off.
All right. At least two of the three of us will probably be there. Jack Hermansson versus Marvin Vettori, obviously. Hermansson was supposed to face Darren Till, then he was supposed to fight Kevin Holland. Now he's fighting Marvin Vettori. I'll be honest with you. And it's weird because I like Kevin Holland a lot. I love Kevin Holland, if I'm being honest with you. I like his personality. I like his fighting style. I love watching him compete in the Apex because you can hear every single word he's saying in there, which is phenomenal because he's big mouth. He talks a lot. But I was not as intrigued by the fight matchup as I am with this one, Marvin Vettori. And I don't know if you guys share that. I mean, I think part of it might be, for me, personal interest. You know, I mean, Michael Chiesa tweeted earlier this week, you know, him and I actually called a Venator show, I think back in 2016, over in Milan, that both these guys were actually on. Of course, they weren't facing each other, but they were both on the card. In fact, as I'm looking at MMA Junkie right now, the weigh-in picture that we still have for Jack Hermansson on his fighter profile is a photo I took of him weighing in at Venator. I'd kind of forgotten about that. So I'm personally intrigued by this a little bit more than I was the Holland fight. Now, I think everybody would have loved the Till fight, ideally. Yeah. You know, that was a big one for the division. But I know how hungry Marvin Vettori has been behind the scenes to get a big opportunity, and this is absolutely that big opportunity for him. So I'm intrigued by this. And by the way, Marvin Vettori, according to the odds makers, opened as the favorite, which I was a little bit surprised to see.
Jack, getting no respect.
No respect, man. And you know, I'm not saying – in fact, I ended up picking Vettori, so that may sound like a weird statement to make. But I don't know. It was odd to me. Yeah, no respect, basically, I think. So I don't know. Are you guys intrigued by the matchup, and what do you think about the fact that Vettori is being favored in the fight?
I think him being favored is very weird. I like the matchup, and I like the fact that they were able to get it done on such short notice. So, because otherwise, you know, the event itself is not the most stacked in history. So I'm glad that they got a decent.
That's one way to put it.
Yes, I'm glad they got a decent main event. For me, it's an exciting fight because it's kind of a put up or shut up moment for Vettori. Because, you know, I don't think a day has gone past since the fight that he's not mentioned Israel Adesanya's name. I think
in fairness, it gets brought up a lot too.
It does, but I think right before he goes to sleep, he goes, Israel Adesanya. And by the way, I'm not saying that as a negative. I love it. I love that sort of unbridled just hatred of a random dude.
Yep.
I love it. But I feel like he keeps talking. There's a moment where a fighter, you know, they make a call out and you think, that's a weird call out, I don't like that. I think that's the sort of territory he's in at the moment. When it comes to Adesanya, people just sort of don't link the two of them together. Beat Jack Hermansson, your call-out suddenly becomes a lot more serious. Then that first fight gets looked at a lot more than just one of Israel's fights, right? So it's a big moment for him, and because I think, like we just said, Jack Hermansson is probably middleweight, probably the most underrated guy in the division. I mean, the guy
completely agree with that.
Like, just, you know, can't get any respect. I would have loved to have seen him against Darren Till, because I also said it was almost put up and shut up. Darren Till's best performances have always been a bit weird. He fought, like, you know, a stoned Kelvin, and then he lost to Rob, and those were his two biggest sort of moments recently.
Yep.
So I thought if he beat Jack, that proves he belongs there. You know, that's what we're still waiting for.
There's still question marks around Darren Till, right? Yeah. I mean, as big of a star as he is, and he is, I mean, he's a great presence on social media. He's fun to watch. He's a great interview, but there's question marks.
But you beat Jack.
Darren Till.
Oh, that guy.
But you beat Jack. You're legit. Because Jack Manson is a fucking legit fighter.
Yep.
So I think Jack will probably win, because I think Vittori's good, but I think Jack Manson actually might be very, very good. But I still think, man, he's just got the wrong sort of personality for the game. It's people just don't ever want to give him the credit, you know?
Yeah, he'll be in a big spot if he wins this fight, too. I mean, he says...
But will he, though? But if he beats Vittori and then Darren Till comes out of injury, I can see Darren just jumping him.
Jumping, right. It's fair.
That's the way the sport works.
It's fair. What I end up seeing is either... I think it'll either be Rob Whittaker or Paulo Costa. I think that would be the next fight for
Who?
For Hermansson, if he wins.
You don't think they just gave him a title shot right away?
I don't. No, I think you'd have to fight one of those guys, especially with Adesanya staying busy against Blachowicz.
If they do an interim, I could see him versus Rob for an interim.
Could do that for an interim. That would make some sense.
Till versus Paulo for the next one.
There you go. Matchmaking done. Dusted.
Although I don't know if they're going to be big on Paulo for a while.
Yeah, they're probably not a little.
Yeah, last performance left a little to be desired.
When Dana comes out and goes, I didn't understand what the fuck he was doing. You're like, He's not getting a title shot for a while.
I mean, I like this matchup. When you look at the three matches that were supposed to, the three guys that were supposed to happen, obviously Till fight would have been the funnest. But you're right, I like Holland a lot. I think that would have been an interesting one. In that sense, in terms of the players involved, I probably would have maybe liked to see the Holland fight, just because I love his post-fight interviews. I would have loved to see him out there during the fight, as opposed to this Vittori one.
Yeah, but you're not guaranteed a post-fight press conference if he fights Jack Manson, are you?
True. Mm. True, but you're at least going to see him out there jawing during the fight. You're going to see him talking crap, you know. And I love watching him even just fight. Like, even while he's taking good shots, you know, he's giving praise to his opponent, and then he'll talk junk, and then he'll hit his opponent with something. But this fight is good. I mean, Marvin is a hell of a fighter. I was so thrown off by his choice of hairstyles today that I was like, what are you doing,
bro? Shaved head was an interesting look.
He shaved head, is he?
Yeah, it was a bit...
Okay, judging by both of your facial expressions, not a good look for him.
It did not look good.
I don't like it.
It did not look good.
You look like you've been scarred, John.
Yeah, I mean, he went from the Italian dream to the Italian,
signed like a potato or something. What's wrong with
it? He looked like he just signed up with, like, the Proud Boys or something.
Oh, dear.
I wasn't going to go there. I just didn't like the look.
It was
Mussolini. Fan, is he?
it was very jarring. But I do know, this fight, you go back and look at it, and I think he's got great hair. I don't know why he would have cut it. I mean, unless he thought that he needed those half ounces of hair or something.
His computer to check it out right now. He's so intrigued.
But what is interesting about this is both guys will walk forward and will throw heavy hands. So I'm looking forward to that neither one of them is going to shy away from throwing the big bombs, right? It's not the best hairstyle for him. He had great hair. I don't know why he cut that hair.
With the polo shirt as well, he does look a bit fucking right wing.
But that being said, it is going to be a decent, it's fucking scary, man. it's going to be a decent fight. Again, you know, I think why I said Holland, because I love that dude.
Holland's fun. He's fun to watch. That's why I'm saying it's weird to me to say that. I love any chance to watch Kevin Holland fight, and obviously we're going to get to see him a week later, so no big deal, right? Yeah. We're going to get to see him, but I don't know. The styles matching up here, and like I said, I think part of it might be my own personal history with these two guys, but I'm intrigued by it, and knowing that Marvin has wanted a big fight, and not that Jacare wasn't a big fight, but I think if Marvin beats Jacare, you go, yeah, but what's Jacare got left? Yeah. You know,
everybody
what I mean?
Keeps questioning Jacare. That's why every time Jacare pulls something out, people are like, see, he's still got it. But everybody going into the fight, well, not everybody, a lot of people are always like, oh, Jacare, he's getting near the end of his time. You know, he's depleted. He's blah, blah, blah.
I think this is a much more meaningful win if Marvin Vettori
gets it. So, you know, one of the comments on your video of Marvin Vettori, of his new haircut, is Italian History X. And then the reply to it is Curbio Stompio.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the movie. That's Jeez. I literally was going to put it in our Slack channel. Like, does this anybody feel like that American History X movie?
Oh, my goodness.
But what's crazy about this and what's going to be great and is that they're going to be battling for the center of the octagon. They're going to be literally in the middle of the cage, and they're going to be seeing whose chin is the best. And
I just think
out of the three possible fights, this maybe in that sense we're going to have more of that in this fight of the possibility of a slobber knocker happening in this fight.
I agree because I think Hermanson would have taken Till down pretty easily, if I'm being honest with you. I think he would take Till down and fight him there. I don't think he'd fight him on the feet. Holland, I think, was a little bit more, you know, kind of a little bit everywhere.
Quirky, yeah.
But Kevin
Holland.
But
he's dangerous on his
feet. But I don't feel like Kevin Holland is, like, ready to be a title contender or ready to be a you know what I mean?
He's just not there yet. You can see, like, so for Darren Till, I think, has remained the same for a while. With Holland, every time he fights, I see involvement.
Yes.
I think Holland is actually improving, whereas Darren...
Oh, yeah, he's got a bright future.
Yeah, Darren's a level that he's either world-class or he's not. I can't tell yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't just seen enough to tell. Kevin's improving, so I agree that Kevin might be able to beat Hermanson one day, just not right now, whereas Till probably could or couldn't, you know?
It was funny, Hermanson, I was asking him about getting ready for the fight, and he's like, dude, we had a really good game plan, like really intricate game plan for Till, because we had so much time to get ready for it. He's like, then we got Holland, and we were like, this dude is unpredictable, like we can't even really put together a detailed game plan, you know? But then he said for Vettori, he's like, I've seen Vettori for years. Like, we came up in the European, so he's like, I know what he is. He's like, look, he's powerful, he's aggressive, he's in your face. He's like, but I know how he fights. He's like, so I can put together. So it's interesting to hear how the evolution of the game plan was from a very detailed game plan to a, we'll just feel how it goes, to, all right, I know what I'm doing again.
I feel like Darren Till is probably the only person on the roster who's like, I'm going to take a fight with a guy who can do leg locks with, like, one ACL. That'll be a good idea. Fucking...
All right, big fight in middleweight. The rest of the card, as you said, it's not full of stars. I will point out a couple things I'm looking forward to. First of all, Jamal Hill, the undefeated record against Ovince St. Preux. I mean, that's a big fight for Jamal Hill to prove whether he belongs. He's jumping into the deep end right away.
Oh, so he fucked up both sides of that fight at the media day.
Oh yeah,
I didn't realize. I thought he was like just screwing around all the time.
And by the way. Terrible. I know where you're getting at with that. And by the way, Jamal Hill, like I said, he was the one that had the marijuana rant earlier, which I respect the hell out of that. So I think that's, man, he's jumping in the deep end, like I said, right here. OSP has been around the game for a while. So we'll see how that one plays out. So I'm intrigued in that because that's is this prospect the real deal? And you know, he's taking, like I said, jumping in the deep end. So I'm excited by that. My boy Justin James is on there, obviously, Extreme Couture Kids Wrestling coach, man. So obviously it's been a long time since I've had my kid in a class, unfortunately, but I always root for Justin James,
that's
man.
That's good, because I think for a while there, did you jinx him or you jinxed some of the other ones?
Yeah, I did jinx him that one night.
But he did win, I think, another night that
Oh, yeah.
So he was actually the one
that won the night that there was the three-peat of coaches. He was the one that won. So.
Yeah, he got a fast knockout, right?
Yeah, the performance of the night impressive. As well. So I'll always be looking out for Justin James. He was just grinding on the regional scene for a while. I think he's probably talked about this in interviews. If he hasn't, I'm sorry. I mean, he was getting to a point where, like, he was wondering if it was worth it to keep going. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of reach that point in your career where you're like, dude, I've been right there for so long. I'm not getting the call. And now, you know, obviously he's had several fights in 2020, so it's cool. So I'm excited about that. The one that really I have circled, man, Mosar Evloev versus Nate Landwehr should be just absolutely fantastic, man. I think both those guys are incredibly exciting. And that should be a barn burner. I think that's a fight of the night candidate there. So that one kicks off the main card. The whole thing's on ESPN2 and ESPN+. I'm excited for that one. Roman Dolidze, by the way, he did actually make a really nice debut in the UFC as well. Looked like he could be somebody.
Another Georgian.
Yeah, another Georgian. Exactly, man. I think he looks like the real deal as well. Jordan Levitt is a syndicate MMA fighter that is fighting Matt Wyman, who's always fun to see in there. Lewis Smoke is on there, who's always been a fun friend of the show. Enjoy him. Cody Durden versus Jimmy Flick looks like it could be crazy. Damon Jackson versus Ilya Topuria. Mm-hmm. I'm circling that one as a potential fight of the night as well. These two dudes are grappling studs. Ilya Topuria, his debut was phenomenal. Of course, Damon Jackson fought his way back into the UFC. And by the way, and the battle order keeps changing over and over and over, but Jake Collier versus Gian Vellante could be an absolute slop fest. I love those two crazy people, man. They're hilarious. John is one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet,
he's
man.
Awesome.
And at heavyweight, it's funny. His buddies are all poking fun at him for being heavy and that sort of thing. So what I will say about this card, again, it's one of those cards that if you're not going to watch it live, fair enough. I understand. We're, of course, getting paid to do it, so it's our job. But I do believe, and I'm not just saying, because I think that's the generic thing, is, oh, there's not big stars, but it could be fun. But I'm really pointing out fights, I think. I mean, especially, I think Mostar Evloev and Nate Landwehr and Damon Jackson versus Ilia Topuria, and probably Cody Durden versus Jimmy Flick, honestly. I think those three are all contenders for Fight of the Night. And then, like I said, if it starts out with Collier Vellante like it's currently scheduled, that'll just be something wacky to kick the night off. Levitt, again, a young stud who's a local guy that we're really excited about his opportunities against the vet and Matt Wyman. I mean, I'm almost as excited about the prelims or more excited about the prelims than I am about the main card as a whole. But I look at this lineup and I say, I get it. If you're not hardcore, you're probably not watching it. But I think we are going to have a fun, knock on wood, I think we're going to have a fun night on Saturday.
Well, the old adage goes that the shitter the card looks on paper, the better it is in person. And so if that's the case, this is going to be the best card of the year.
Wow. Shots fired.
No.
Shots fired.
Look, I think Till Hermansson was a very good fight, and I think that was carrying the load of this card.
It was a huge main event.
I think so. But as I said, man, usually these cards are the ones where if you can get out of needing to have a name in them, if you can just appreciate the action itself, these cards are usually, because we might not be as familiar with these names, they're usually much more evenly matched,
right,
which usually leads to better fights.
Yep.
So I anticipate a decent card.
The good thing is,
and that's as much praise as I'm going to give it, John. I'm not giving it any more.
ESPN2 and ESPN+, so you can watch, like, it'll archive on ESPN+, so you can watch it back right away. And honestly, these type of fights, it didn't happen to me much, but since we were dealing with furloughs in 2020 and stuff, there were a couple cards where I didn't have to watch it live because I wasn't working. So I would go back and watch it like after and just like skip all the stuff in between
and just go fight.
And it's so much less time than 6 hours or whatever, and you'd get rewarded. So this could be one of those cards. I think there's going to be highlights. I think there's going to be things to watch. But you can watch it on Sunday afternoon or something like that, you know.
I think the main event will be good. That sounds so shitty to everyone else.
You are so less excited about this card than I am.
Are you reading the card? I mean, it's
I'm telling you what I'm looking out for. Look, I get it. I'm the hardest of the hardcore. I can't deny.
I just think that see, I sound so negative, but I think names like Gian Vellante and stuff, they have the potential to have a great fight, but they also have the potential to have like 15 minutes of like not great.
But see, I'll be entertained by just seeing Gian Vellante in there, like two dudes breathing heavy on each other, just sucking.
Especially Jake Collier, the guy. He's been all around the division.
I'm telling you,
three different divisions he's fought in.
They're gonna be breathing
it's
so
funny.
Heavy, they're sucking the oxygen out
of
the apex.
Yeah, totally, man. Like I will get kicks out of seeing them just sucking wind and like throwing bombs.
When I was trying to find a picture for one of the videos, one of the pictures came up was him from another weight class. I was like, this doesn't even look like.
Can't
him. I was
use
like,
that.
I can't use this one. Use this one.
I will say, okay, so you're going to, if the order stays the same, they change this damn thing every day. It's so frustrating. Collier Vellante will be.
We're going to lose two fights on Wednesday anyway.
Silence, sir. that'll start out as a slot fest. I'm telling you right now, Jackson Topuria, dude, that could be an absolute legit, like, grappling just phenomenon. I think that'll be amazing. And Durden Flick could be all over the place as well. Levitt Wyman could be great grappling as well. Dude, I'm telling you, it's
Wyman's going to go out there with I don't want to say chip on his shoulder.
Oh,
but
that Jordan Levitt, that guy that's from the Contender Series.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, exactly.
And Wyman's going to come out there try to prove that he's still relevant as well. I mean, he's been away for a while, and he's back, and so he's going to be putting a lot of heart and effort. So that could be a lot of fun as well. I mean, this could be one of those ones where people look at on paper, which we have happen all the time. They look at it and they just say, I'm not really all that into this. And I swear these fighters, they get that. They understand that. And they go out there and they always give it all. They always give their all. These are the cards that usually people say, did you watch it? Like, no. And they're like, dude, you missed.
You missed out. I think it's going to be an entertaining one. And by the way, just three cards left and then we get our little break. And
it's
then,
a late night, this one, though, isn't it? It starts at first fight at 5, is it?
It's a later.
Four.
It's one of
first
the later
fight, 4 p.m.
Checking
Pacific.
It 3:30.
4 p.m. Pacific. Three cards
when
left.
When we say late, we mean like normal.
Yeah,
normal time.
Yeah, but this we've been treated
spoiled.
This year.
We've been spoiled by those afternoon cards. We can leave, and it's still still time to go get dinner. And then we'll have the 3-week break, and then by all accounts, it sounds like we're going to Fight Island again. 16th, 20th, and 23rd, I believe, right? Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Seems to be where
we're at this point. So 2 weeks in Fight Island. We'll see how that all plays out. Hopefully I get my passport back in time.
Shut the fuck up.
I had to send my passport out because my passport expires in April, and you have to have 6 months on it to go over there. So I had to send it off, and like they're saying it's taking like 5-6 weeks. So I sent it a couple weeks ago, so... Fingers crossed, bro.
I've heard not good things, John.
I've heard not good things as well, bro. I'm actually a little bit nervous. So,
you guys have the service over here where you can pay extra to get it done quicker?
You can.
Yeah.
You can. So I paid $217 for the expedited service, and I think it's probably a good sign because I paid with a personal check. The company pays me back, obviously, but I pay with a personal check. But my check has been cashed.
Okay.
So I think so
it's obviously processing.
Made. You know what I mean? Like I think that's a good sign, right? But I don't know. Maybe they just cash it and they're like, yeah, it still takes like a month.
Do you guys have a place? I assume probably not. But in London, you can get your passport the same day if you go to the place.
Well, yeah, but most of those places are nowhere near here. You'd have to go to like LA.
So they do have centers like that, but they're not open right now. So I called and they're like, you know what? Maybe if I had gone to LA or something like that, like it could have been. Because I had to do that one time, actually, and I can't remember why. I had to do that, and it worked out. I was in Miami. I think I was actually commentating like a Titan thing. You know what it was? This is weird. Nobody cares about this. Why am I talking about it? But here's what happened. You're just hanging out with us in our living room talking. My passport had run out of pages, and I needed to get a visa.
Because you had so many stamps and
shit? Yeah, because I had so many stamps. So I had to get an extra – I had the 26-page book, but you can get like the extra 26 pages put in. But in order to do that, you have to send it off.
Yeah.
And I couldn't send it off because this was back when we were traveling like internationally like all the time, and I couldn't. But it worked out. I was doing a Titan fighting commentary gig in Florida, and there was a place like that in Miami. So while I was there, I went to Miami, handed my passport. They put the extra 26 pages in, and I walked out. And I damn near feel that. Dude, I have my old passport. It's like a 52-page passport, and there's almost no space left in it. I'm pretty proud of that.
I haven't thought about this for years, but when I first ever moved to America to come to university, because I'm, you know, an organized person like that.
Sure, of course.
I fucked it up. I got my passport with a visa in at 6 a.m. from a courier, and my flight was at 10 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was a very stressful morning.
Good Lord.
My dad wanted to rip my throat out.
I imagine
He was furious. He was like, you can't believe this, stupid bastard. And then as far as the place you can go the same day, it's actually like unintentionally hilarious because the amount of people that the same day think with suitcases that you can tell have gone to get their flight and the passports. There's so many people there with like suitcases in hand.
Man, I'm hoping that's not a problem. I'm hoping, knock on wood again, man. I'm hoping everything comes through and it's not an issue. It is going to be funny though because you know, I got that passport in 2011, which is right when the UFC started
10 years,
really.
Right?
Yeah, right when they really started firing it up. So like. My passport's been beaten to hell and has a bunch of tan. So I'm gonna be that dude showing up with the brand new, crisp, shiny passport, looking like he's never left the country before, looking like an absolute rookie.
That's good, man. You must have. You should probably go and count how many stamps you have.
I need to go do that. Like I had to send in my old one. I imagine they'll send it back to me.
Usually send it, but with a big corner chuck,
out of it or whatever.
What's if you could guess which country has the most stamps in your passport?
No question, Brazil. I went 29 times.
Fuck.
29 times to Brazil. So I had a 10-year Brazilian visa in there. I have a Russian visa in there, a Chinese visa in there, because you had to have it to both those countries. So
it's hilarious to me that we Brits don't need a visa to go to Brazil, but if we want to get a visa to Russia, we have to get an AIDS test.
Is why you've never been to Brazil. All right, enough passport talk. Passportjunkie.com.
Puncher's Chance.
The MMA. Thank you, Bruce Buffer. He just got us on a tangent. We appreciate it.
That was either very entertainingly interesting or incredibly boring.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Nobody's making it this part of the podcast anymore.
Yeah, the Brazil part, the Brazil visas for us also is just a reciprocity thing. We do it to them, so they're like, well, screw you, America.
Yeah.
We're going to do it to you.
That's so weird, because you're usually so nice
here.
We'll
I know, right? We love foreigners here.
We build a wall. All right, UFC on ESPN 19, Saturday night. We'll have it covered. Of course, we'll do the and a half over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. Appreciate everybody that's already signed up over there. If you're not, it's as little as $3 a month. Come on, man. $3 a month to help support the show. We really would appreciate it. And everybody else, in the meantime, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.